everybody. This is Bev.
And this is Diz.
And this is...
Trigger Warning.
Welcome back.
Guys, welcome back.
I think it's Diz's turn, which is good. Yes. I don't have a story ready, so I hope it's your turn.
So I do, and it is my turn.
Okay, then let's... get this show on the road.
Let's do it. Okay, so we're gonna be listening, or I'm gonna be telling a story about a mystery,
and I'm gonna be listening to
it's gonna be
story.
Mysterious.
Oh boy.
I don't really have any trigger warnings.
It's trigger warning for a mystery.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. For real, let's get started. Today I'm gonna tell you the story about the Mary Celeste.
Mary Celeste, is that her name?
That is its name.
Its name.
This is a ship.
I cannot imagine you telling us a story about a ship, Diz.
On water? What?
What?
Not me.
Diz.
I just thought this was really cool.
I think you were a fisherman in a previous life, Diz.
I don't think so. I'm too scared of water.
I don't know.
I think that would have
maybe
transferred
you were
over.
On the Mary Celeste and you went down.
Okay. Or the Titanic.
And that's why you're afraid of the water this life.
Well, anywho.
Anywho.
Well, let's talk about the Mary Celeste.
All right, let's do it.
So the Mary Celeste was a brigantine or two-mast ship that was built on Spencer's Island in Nova Scotia, in Canada.
Nova Scotia.
In 1861, and at that time it was named the Amazon.
Oh, cool.
Right? So it was 99.3 feet long, or 30.3 meters.
Okay, that's big.
It's big. 25.5 feet wide, or 7.8 meters wide, and 11.7 feet deep, or 3.6 meters. And it weighed 198.42 tons. So it's a big lady.
She was a big lady.
She was a big lady.
She was an Amazon.
She was an Amazon. So the Amazon had her regular trade routes between like the West Indies, England, and the Mediterranean area. At one point, it was wrecked off of Cape Breton in Nova Scotia, and it was wrecked pretty bad. It was not in great shape after this wreck. So in 1868, well, it changes hands a couple of times, but nobody really keeps it. And then in 1868, there's an American businessman. His name is Richard W. Haynes. So he buys it for like $1,700, puts a little, almost $9,000 into it to restore it, and then he names it the Mary Celeste. So in 1868 or 69, I don't know how long it took for him to be restored, the Mary Celeste is born.
So he changes it from Amazon to Mary Celeste.
Yes.
So he's the loser that changed it from Amazon, which was a cool name.
Yeah. I mean, Mary Celeste is nice, but...
But how much of the original was left?
I mean, I think a good portion. I mean, 99 feet.
But, like, if there's just one board left, is it still the same ship?
I mean, you got to think, $8,825 is how much he put into it to restore it. And this was in
so
the 1860s.
There had to be some part, like, a significant part of it,
yes.
Left, I guess.
So, then, in early 1872, it was refitted again. Like, they added a second deck and did a few more changes to it, and it changed its measurements, so it was 103 feet long and 16 feet deep and still the same width, but it changed its weight to 282.2 tons.
Wow.
Yeah, just by adding these other things. So anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. So she got bigger.
Mm-hmm.
She was massive. So anyway, let's go on to her final sailing.
Okay.
November.
What was she, sorry, you probably said this, was she...
She was just like a merchant ship.
A cargo ship. Okay, merchant ship. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, November 7th of 72, the Mary Celeste set sail from Staten Island in New York, with her final destination was Genoa, Italy. So, there were 10 people on board. The captain, who was Benjamin Spooner Briggs, his wife, Sarah, their 2-year-old daughter, Sophia, and then they had 7 crewmen with them as well. Also on board, they had like 6 months of food and water and 1,700 barrels of industrial alcohol.
All right.
Right? So they knew how to party. So they head out. They're in some bad weather, as we always, most of these ships that I talk about are. They have really bad weather. And the Mary Celeste reaches the Azores, which is an archipelago or like a small group of islands near Portugal. Mm-hmm. And her last log entry was on November 25th. So they started out on November 7th from New York. They got all the way down to Portugal by the 25th. And so the last log entry that they have is at 5 a.m. on the 25th. 10 days later, it's December 5th, and another brigantine ship called the De Grazia, I think, is making its way toward Italy as well. They're about 400 miles east of the Azores when they spot another ship that is, like, just appears to be drifting across the ocean. They get closer and realize it's the Mary Celeste. Now, they knew that the Mary Celeste had left New York 8 days before them, and that they should have been to Italy by then.
So they're like, why are they still... So like,
the heck?
Yeah.
So the captain,
there's no way we caught up with them.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Especially yeah. with bad weather, because mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody, well, I don't know how aware of the bad weather that other people would be, but the captain was like, this is weird. And the captain's name was David Morehouse of the other ship. So Morehouse is like, hey, let's go over and check it out. Make sure that we help them if they need anything.
Mm-hmm. Make sure they have plenty of alcohol.
Yeah. So he sends a small boarding party over. So when they get on the ship, they see that the sails and the rigging are like real ragged and tore up looking. There's a sounding bar on the deck, which I'll explain later. They go below deck, and the ship's charts are all strewn around in the
cabin.
Yeah. I was trying to think, like, what is it called where, like, the captain would stand in the cabin? The charts were everywhere. But they did notice that all the crews...
The bridge,
yes. Yeah. That's, yes.
I just think of Star Trek.
I know, right? I heard Picard say it.
Yeah.
So, the crew's belongings were still in their quarters. It had one lifeboat and it was gone. And then they had two pumps that were part of the ship that would pump out water, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And one of those was disassembled.
Okay, that seems weird.
They did notice most of the ship's papers were missing. I don't know if it was like had to do with their cargo, and I don't know exactly what kind of papers it was. There was 3.5 feet of water sloshing around in the bottom of the ship. And so there was 1,701 barrels of the alcohol. I said 1,700, but it was 1,701.
Mm-hmm.
And all the barrels were intact. Everything looked normal.
Okay.
All their food and water was there, but there was nobody on board. They couldn't find anyone anywhere.
And the ship was still floating, obviously.
Yes. There appeared no damage to the ship. They noticed the sails and the rigging, like the... Mm-hmm. Stuff that helps the sails to move, like the rope and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of janky looking.
Right.
Otherwise,
and
the ship
was some
was
water
fine.
In it, but it was.
Yeah, it wasn't enough to like sink it or anything,
right.
Or for it to. Yeah.
And then one of the water pumps or whatever was
disassembled.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're like, "What is going on? Where is everyone?" So, and they're 400 miles from those islands, which is. Like, I don't remember exactly how far it is from Portugal, but it's not, like, super close.
Right.
You might be able to look it up, but anyway, okay, you don't have to. So, the captain's like, well, this is crazy. What is going on here? The ship is able to be sailed, so some of his crew go over and they sail.
The Azores are 1,000 miles west of Portugal.
Okay, so that's significant.
Yeah.
And they were 400 miles from the Azores. So, they're like, he's like, okay, well, it's a salvage. So, they sail the ship to Gibraltar,
okay.
Which is 800 miles that they sail the Mary Celeste, some of his crew, and then they, of course, follow them. And they're going to a salvage hearing on December 12th. That's where they're headed. So, a salvage hearing is usually held in the British Admiralty, like, court,
mm-hmm.
and it basically determines if the salvagers, whoever they might be, so the ship's captain and whatever, are entitled to payment from the insurers of the ship.
Okay, like for the, they finding found the boat.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we found this, can we has some money?
The attorney general, his name was, okay, this is great, Frederick Solly Flood.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it.
He suspected foul play. He just wasn't so sure about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So they investigate for 3 months. Don't know how exactly they investigate. Did he
suspect the captain of the other boat?
Yes, they weren't sure about the actual story that they were given.
Okay.
They found no evidence of foul play.
Right.
They released the Mary Celeste on February 25th. And then eventually, the captain on the De Gratia got a payment of 1,700 pounds, which is only a sixth of the total insured amount for the ship and the cargo, mm-hmm. which was 46,000 pounds. So in today's payments, though, I looked to see what this was.
Mm-hmm.
So in today, their payout would have been $236,214.44.
That's not bad for just doing your job and floating upon it.
And then the total insured amount would be 6,391,684 pounds. The theories. They're like, well, what happened to this ship?
And where's everybody?
Where is everyone? There was 10 people on board. Everything else looks perfectly fine. So, okay, we're in the 1800s. So right. Their first thing is giant sea monster.
Of course.
But they're like, no, wait a second. The ship was completely intact. Like, there was no damage to the ship. Yeah,
the giant sea monster would have taken it down.
So they're like, okay, it wasn't the Kraken.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Captain Jack Sparrow? Was it a pirate?
Right.
And they're like, well, all the belongings were still on board.
They would have taken all the alcohol.
Was on board. And one thing about the alcohol, there were 9 barrels that were empty, mm-hmm. but they were made from red oak, which is very porous.
Mm-hmm.
So they think it just leaked out.
Okay.
They mm-hmm. don't think they...
Right, yeah.
Used 9 barrels of alcohol, especially since they were taking that to Italy.
Right.
Like, it was for the Genoa, Italy, wherever they were going there. They also thought maybe it was a mutiny after the crew got really drunk.
Okay.
And then they're like, no way.
Then the crew would have been like, what? They would have been like, get them off the boat and, hey, let's go for a swim? Like, why would they? Yeah.
Plus, it's like everything is normal on the ship. There's nothing that would be like, oh, this it's horrible we're having to deal with, blah, blah, blah. Right. So,
be like, this 2-year-old's driving us nuts.
Yeah, she's crazy. So then they're like, well, maybe the alcohol vapors expanded in the heat and blew the hatch, like, for underneath, like,
uh-huh.
below deck. But there was no smell of alcohol, no evidence of the hatch blew. The hatch was completely intact, like the main hatch,
uh-huh.
completely intact. No evidence of an explosion or anything. Now, one thing I will say is, as far as the explosion and the evidence of it, a lady named Andrea Sella in 2006 did an experiment and essentially tried to prove that it could have been an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And when she did it, it showed no evidence of an explosion, but they knew an explosion happened in her experiment.
Okay.
That she did. So, that is a possibility, but I'm like, I don't know what would have exploded.
I mean, I guess the fumes could do that, but I would think that...
There would be...
Would it have been an explosion that would have knocked them off the boat?
But not everyone.
Or would it have just, like, kind of been like a concussion explosion where it might have knocked them out?
Yeah, probably knocked them out. And plus, you know his wife and daughter are not going to just be up on deck doing stuff
right,
like
just
the crew.
Bopping around with
they're
going to
be down in the cabin area,
right.
whatever. So I just don't think, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that
I could see where that could be a possibility, but I'm just not
been,
sure.
If it had been a fiery explosion, then there would have been evidence of that.
Right. Which, I mean, I guess with the vapors, because, you know, they're in Portugal. This is south, you know?
Yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah.
By the equator and stuff, but I don't know.
But again, unless it was something that was strong enough to blow them off the boat.
I just don't see how that would be.
Yeah, I don't see how that could
be. Of course, unless it was like, oh, this is horrible, and they got in the lifeboat. But then it's like, where did they end up?
Yeah.
Because no lifeboat was ever found.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's a big ocean, but...
So, then they thought maybe it was a homicidal sailor. It was a crazy sailor.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, there was a movie called The Mystery of the Mary Celeste,
mm-hmm.
and the main person was Bela Lugosi.
Oh,
and
gosh.
He played a homicidal sailor.
Uh-huh.
So they were thinking that this could have been based on these two German brothers that were part of the crew. Their names were Volker and Boy Lorenzen. And they thought maybe they had something to do with it because their belongings were not found on the ship.
Oh, that's weird.
So they're like, well, that's interesting because everybody else's were there. They were able to talk to descendants of the two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that, I guess, I don't know how they proved this or whatever. They said that they had lost their belongings in a shipwreck earlier that year. So they didn't really have anything.
Okay.
But most people believe that they really wouldn't have had a motive anyway.
Right.
To do anything.
And why wouldn't they, if they say they murdered everybody else and threw them overboard, where would they have gone?
Right.
Would they have taken the lifeboat maybe onto an island or the mainland
I guess
and just
they
let
could
the
have.
Boat drift?
But, like, why would they leave the boat when it has food and alcohol on it?
Yeah.
You can get rid of everyone
and they can
else.
Sail wherever they want to in the world because it's a huge boat.
So, I don't know. They don't really think that that is a thing.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to make sense enough. Like,
all right, so this has been a mystery for many, many years.
Obviously,
and
yeah.
There's a documentarian, her name is Anne McGregor. She researched the Mary Celeste and did a documentary through the Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm.
And during her research, she and her husband, who happens to be a yachtman, his name is Scott, they visited Captain Briggs, was the captain of the Mary Celeste.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't say that earlier. I don't think I did. I don't know if I said his actual name. Anyway, Captain Briggs. He was from Marion, Massachusetts. So they went up to Marion, Massachusetts, and they interviewed a descendant of Arthur Briggs, who was their 7-year-old son, who had stayed home with their grandmother so he could go to school.
Oh, okay.
So they were able to interview his descendants,
mm-hmm.
and basically they were just saying that Briggs was well-respected, experienced, a good captain, fair, and most people liked him. So it's not like he had a lot of enemies that they mm-hmm. knew of. And that was pretty much all that they learned from them. So then she meets this guy named Phil Richardson. He's an oceanographer, and he works at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And she says, hey, Phil,
hey,
friend.
Hey, Phil, oceanographer.
Hey, Phil, would you possibly reverse map the route that we think they might have taken so we can kind of see where we think the Mary Celeste, where they might have been.
The whole route?
Yes.
Like across the ocean? And,
well, no.
Or
from
just from,
like,
the Azores?
From the Azores.
Okay.
So they know by the log entry, November 25th, they were within sight of the island of Santa Maria in the Azores.
Okay.
That's at least 6 miles mm-hmm. away. They also know that 10 days later, on December 5th, is when the other ship is 400 miles east of that
mm-hmm.
and sees the Mary Celeste drifting.
Okay.
So they're like, could it have really drifted that far on its own? It's a huge
right.
ship. They use a database called the International Comprehensive Ocean Atmosphere Data Set.
That's impressive.
Right? It's really cool. And it's actually a database for marine and ocean information
mm-hmm.
from 1784 to 2007.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Like for ocean currents and stuff?
Yes.
That's cool.
So they get water temperatures, wind speeds, and wind directions for that area at that time in 1872.
Oh, that's cool, man. I didn't know that was a thing that could
so
be done.
So Phil does his oceanographer stuff and he reverse maps. So their conclusion is the Mary Celeste drifted from its position near Santa Maria to its final location. They're thinking the captain would only abandon ship if he was near land. They're not just going to abandon ship in the middle with it not being like a damaged ship.
Right.
Santa Maria was the last land for hundreds of miles, so they assumed they abandoned it on the 25th, since that was the last log entry.
Mm-hmm.
And
makes
it drifted
sense.
From Santa Maria 400 miles in
east.
10 days.
Yeah.
if you think about it.
Yeah.
10 days. But they're like, why would he abandon a ship? Sorry, I keep clapping, guys. Why would he abandon a ship?
Right.
Because there's nothing wrong with the ship, apparently. It's not damaged. They had food. Everyone, they're assuming, was not ill. Like, it wasn't anything like that.
Right.
So, they actually, back in 1872, when they had the salvage hearing, Sally Flood, the attorney general, mm-hmm. he actually reviewed the logbook.
Uh-huh.
And he made his own notes, because it became, like, this big, huge, like, story back then about this ship that was just abandoned and what happened and uh-huh. all that stuff. And he said that he saw nothing unusual in the ship's logs until the last 5 days of the log. So he transcribed all of that into his own notes. And they think that in 1885, the logbook was, well, it's gone. They don't have the actual logbook anymore. So all they have is his transcriptions, Sally Flood's transcriptions in his notes of the last 5 days.
They lost the logbook.
Yes. I don't know exactly what it says. I couldn't find anything that showed or talked about what those last 5 days said,
mm-hmm.
which is annoying to
me. Yes.
Because I'm like, well, then that would maybe explain. Anyway, so McGregor and Richardson, they go back with this information,
mm-hmm.
go back to the data, the wind speed, and all that stuff, and they come to another conclusion. They said that Briggs was 120 miles west of where he actually thought he was. And they think it's from a faulty chronometer. I think it's like I have a hard time with words today. Compass kind of thing.
Right, yeah. Chrono is time, so.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it helps determine where you are in
relation to something.
To the stars, and I think it helped navigate.
Navigatorial.
Yeah. By the time we're done with all these ship things that you do, we're going to know
how to do captain.
Ship stuff. Yeah.
So they're thinking that by Briggs' calculations, the Mary Celeste should have sighted land 3 whole days before they actually did. That's how far off they were. 3 days. So he expected to see land and didn't see it for 3 more days. I guess that's what's in the logbook.
Okay.
Also, they said of a significant note, the day before reaching the Azores, Briggs had changed course and headed north of Santa Maria. And then the night before their last entry, so on like the 24th of November, they had had to deal with really rough seas and winds that were over 35 knots or over 40 miles an hour.
Wow.
So that's pretty significant. But they're like, this shouldn't make a captain that experienced have to abandon ship.
Yeah.
Like, it still doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. Why? I mean, even if you were that far off course and expecting to hit land.
Right.
Why would you abandon your large ship and put everybody in a lifeboat?
Right. It just doesn't make sense because I'm like, he also has his wife and daughter on board.
Yeah.
It's not like it's just the dudes. It's just him and his crew. That's a little bit different. But I think what bothers me is, like, the ship is in good shape.
Yeah.
It has a pump that's messed up, apparently, and the sails and rigging, but it was still good enough to go
somewhere.
To the
yeah.
800 miles to Gibraltar.
Yeah.
So it's like, what happened?
Yeah, why did you need to leave?
Okay, so they're thinking, okay, what in the world happened? So they know in the previous voyage of the Mary Celeste, they had carried coal, and then it was refitted. Like, they had refit some things,
mm-hmm.
fixed it, zhuzhed it a little.
Uh-huh.
So they think that possibly coal dust and debris from where they refitted things on the ship may have clogged the pumps.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so they're like, some evidence that one pump was found disassembled and it was on deck.
Okay.
It had been brought up on deck. They also were saying, because the pump was messed up, Briggs wouldn't be able to tell how much seawater was in the hull of the ship, and they've just been through bad weather.
Right. Mm-hmm.
With the pump, one pump not even working, and apparently the hull was packed full of all the stuff that they brought, like
okay.
the barrels and everything. So he couldn't really go and visually check like he would want to. So they're thinking maybe he was like, we just hit bad weather. There's land right over here. And I don't know if my ship is going to sink in a little bit because I don't know how much water it's taking on.
And so he may have been like, my wife and my child are in the boat and I'm not going to take any chances.
Right. So he may have been like, abandoned ship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thought.
Or he could have thought, I'll anchor here and go to the island to get help or whatever. And then didn't realize that the boat didn't anchor properly and it floated away.
Maybe. Or maybe they all got on that little lifeboat thingy and got more in bad weather and it sank.
It swept them away,
It literally could just be something like that. So that was really the only other thought they had of maybe that would really actually make sense as to why he would have abandoned ship in those circumstances.
Yes. Yeah. Like, basically just to be on the safe side since his family was there.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the main story about the Mary Celeste. After the hearings in Gibraltar and everything, it continued its service of, like, going to the West Indies and the Mediterranean and everything. In 1885, the captain at that time deliberately wrecked the Mary Celeste off the coast of Haiti in an attempted insurance fraud scam.
Oh, gosh.
Are you kidding me? I was like, wow, they've done that for a really long time.
Yes, they have.
So some people have tried to think of other things that may have happened. Some people have suggested like a really bad, like a water spout.
Uh-huh, okay.
But
or a rogue wave.
They said,
maybe,
you know, there is water in the bottom of the ship.
Yeah.
The rigging and the sails were not in good pressure. Not pressure. I'm reading my next note. Not in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying the low barometric pressure of a storm like that could have pushed water into the pumps, giving them the sounding rod is what, in my head, it's like when you check your oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sounding rod of like how deep the water is.
Oh, okay.
It would have given them a false reading, quote unquote, if it had just pushed water in, even though it wasn't actually filling the ship.
Okay, so it would have.
And the rod was found on deck, so they're all of that together makes sense to them that it could have been weather related.
Mm-hmm.
But like they're not going to jump off the. Well, I guess they could have, but they aren't going to jump onto the lifeboat in the middle of bad weather.
Would yeah, they? I mean, unless they, like you said, unless they think for sure that the ship's going to go down.
I don't know.
And if they saw land right there, they were like, we can get to it easier in the lifeboat with a couple of oars.
6 miles. Yeah. Like, if that's what they're thinking it would have been for him to be able to see it, that's doable with.
But if he could see it, I would think that they wouldn't be in the middle of a storm.
I don't know.
Unless he was even closer to it than 6 miles.
But you know what? It could be. The daughter is sick. Like, maybe she got sick or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, we gotta go find help.
Yeah.
It could be something like that. I don't know. It could have been a homicidal sailor. It may have been the Kraken and they were just very gentle.
Maybe.
Maybe they had the mark. They had the mark of the Black Pearl. Anyway. That's pretty much it, because basically the thing is, we don't really know, even now. They think they have an idea with what we were just talking about, but they're really not sure.
I'm assuming that they know that they went through bad weather at least once because of his logs.
Right.
So I'm assuming that the rigging and the ropes being tattered and stuff were probably from that.
Right. Well, and they had just had bad weather the night before.
Okay.
According to the logbook on the 24th. Now, I don't think it was as bad as what they had gone through previously, but I don't know.
Right, crossing the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably hit weather a few times, but okay, so maybe with the rigging bad, with the sound bar or whatever, and they thought it was getting deeper than they thought, the pump wasn't working either from the coal dust or whatever.
Yeah.
And then having, his wife and child there, and he could see that island, he thought, because if he was off course and was thinking 3 days ago he was going to be hitting land, he was probably thinking, this is our only chance.
Right.
We should have hit land a long time ago. I'm not sure where we are. This is our only chance.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
Right.
If I pass here and we don't have land anymore.
Exactly.
Because they were saying, like, once you hit Santa Maria, depending on which direction you're going, which
right.
it was miles, hundreds of miles before you would reach land again.
Right.
So.
So he might have thought, this is our only chance if we're going to get through this. If we get another batch of bad weather, the ship is not going to make it.
Yeah.
It might not make it now. So.
Well, yeah, and thinking that it could be sinking, or it, you know, it's taking on water, and one right. pump is not enough to
yeah, keep to get
one
rid of
that size. Too. You yeah. also, it's a huge
yeah,
ship.
Yeah, it's a big ship.
I keep thinking of a smaller ship, I guess.
Yeah. And he might have thought, you know, if it was just me and the crew, we could probably it make it. But yeah. yeah. But I mean, a 2-year-old, that's young.
And like, his I wife.
I think I would have left my wife and my 2-year-old at home.
Yeah,
but,
I'm kind of surprised that they went.
Yeah. Maybe they just wanted to see Italy or something.
I mean,
but,
same, but.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was something like that, but it's so weird.
And when you're in the situations, you don't know how they're going to think.
Yeah. No, you don't.
And back then it was so different than now. And
if he was a captain that was used to, you know, he was a good captain. He was used to, you know, smooth sailing, I guess.
Yeah.
For him to suddenly have been off course by so much and not know where he was. Keep a good head on their shoulders sometimes, but then when you're in a situation you're not used to like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then to have his wife and kid there on the one time that he kind of royally screws up.
Right.
You know, he might have kind of panicked, and who knows how his thought process was going then.
Well, and like I said, if one of them's sick, especially like his daughter,
mm-hmm.
which obviously there's no sign of that. They have no evidence.
Right.
That she was or anything, but they don't have evidence that she wasn't either.
Right.
Then that's going to also
have an impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with him knowing his son's at home, like, that's a big deal, too, because they're so far away from him. That just blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Anyway, I know this was kind of a short one, but it was just
it's an interesting crazy. Story, though.
So crazy.
Yes. Yeah, that's an interesting mystery.
Right? Well, and then for the, at the little hearing, for them to be like, we're not so sure about you.
Yeah, I'm a little sus about you people.
Right.
Well, and I guess, I mean, the story that we know only comes from the people who say they found the boat adrift,
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
So, actually, the mystery might not even be a mystery. They may have actually come upon it and killed them and then brought their
which
boat
which is crazy,
to,
though, because, like, this is another, like, British
yeah, and
merchant ship.
They probably really did come upon them and, you know.
It like exactly
it
how they
was
said.
Adrift. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because there was no reason for them to do that if they were already doing their own thing and
yeah,
you know,
they
making
were already
their own money
doing,
and
yeah.
whatever.
And they were heading the same direction.
Yeah.
Because then, instead of doing what they were planning on doing, wherever they were going in Italy, they're having to go to Gibraltar.
Yeah, let's
to
go 800 miles out of our way to get this boat back.
Right. So it's like.
And couldn't have been easy to sail it there because the rigging and the sails were kind of jacked up.
Well, and remember, they found it on November 25th. They didn't release the ship until February 25th.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, that's a long time.
Yeah, they had to either wait
to
around
wait.
There or leave and come back or something.
Yeah. And then who knows how much longer before at
I
least the captain
got
his money.
Money. Yeah, that's crazy.
So that's not really,
like that,
a smart way
that
to
wasn't
do
a good
it.
Way to get the money.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, do you know if the dude that purposely rammed it into the beach or whatever to get the insurance money, do you know if he, like, if it was permanently damaged then and they couldn't use it anymore?
I think it was
to get the insurance scam?
I don't remember. I don't know. They didn't talk a whole lot about it, but I thought that was hilarious.
Did he have it retrofitted and then named it the insurance scam or something?
Maybe the Amazon again.
He named it Progressive. Allegedly. I'm just kidding.
Liberty.
Liberty.
Okay. Anywho.
That's funny.
So, what do you guys think?
What do y'all think happened to the Mary Celeste? Was it another Kraken or aliens?
Could be aliens.
It could be
aliens.
It could be.
That's why the sails were tattered. They hit the sails and they're like, oh, shoot,
they
we're trying
to
get the people.
They tried to beam them up and it burned the sails.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's another cool ship story.
Yeah, I'll try not to do a ship one.
You can do as many ship ones as you want, because they're at least really interesting.
Well, because it's the ocean,
and
it's just like the biggest unknown.
Terms.
Yes, we're going to be able to sail soon.
Yes. I'm going to have to learn how to swim first.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Life jackets or something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will catch you guys another time.
Yes. Then. Thanks for listening to this short little episode and today.
My next one is going to be a true crime.
Ooh.
So get ready for that.
We wait with bated breath.
Awesome. And we'll see you again later.
See you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye. Watch for deer.